So over the last few months, I've been making some pretty big shifts in my life. I'm doing a lot less digital things and a lot more analog things. For example, I ditched my Apple Watch, which this is this weird thing that happens. If you've never worn a smartwatch, you get this little pulse every time you get a notification. And there's this thing, it's been probably 3 months, 2 or 3 months since I got rid of the Apple Watch, and I still get phantom pulses on my wrist all the time. I don't know what that says, but I feel like I've been conditioned, like Pavlov's dog or something over here. I'm like, what is that? No, it still just tells the time. So there's that. So I got rid of the Apple Watch. I've been reading my physical, like paper Bible, and highlighting with actual highlighters, and my journaling stuff is happening not on the iPad, but on an actual notebook with a pen and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that's what everybody should do. That's not prescriptive. And I'm also not saying this so you can go, oh, well, that's very fancy, very, very, that's not what I'm saying that either. Because here's the truth. Everything takes a lot longer that way. It takes a lot longer. It's much less efficient. And I'm not getting as much done as I used to. And that sounds bad, right? Especially if you're type A, like me. But I will tell you this, it's been really, really good for me. Because what I've discovered is that I had filled my days with a whole bunch of stuff that while in and of themselves they weren't bad, they didn't really matter. And so they just added to my list. Because we've talked about this before, my lists have lists. And they just keep getting, they never get shorter, they only get longer. And what I found was that I was filling my list with a bunch of stuff, but while they weren't bad, it didn't really matter. But I still felt the pressure to complete it all and to get it all done. And then even when I did get it all done, it didn't bring the fulfillment that I thought that it should because it didn't matter to begin with, okay? And as a result, I was increasingly anxious and stressed out, even though I was producing at a rate that I've never produced before. Let me tell you, you don't even know how many hours went into getting the growth track off the ground. I lost count. Okay, and all of this stuff is building and building and building in my life, and I'm just wound tight, and I'm trying to get all this stuff done. And then this past summer, I led a team to the Dominican Republic. We work with David and Etta Sepulveda, and I'm speaking at a men's conference in the Dominican Republic, and I'm talking to the fellas about the fact that every decision that we make shapes the people we're becoming. And how many of you know that sometimes the words that hit hardest are the ones you thought God gave you to say to somebody else? You ever notice that? I didn't think those words were for me, but I was wrong about that. You know, if you were to look in my prayer journal, you would see that I pray every day for God to shape me into the man that he wants me to become. And while I'm on this mission trip, God started working on me. He started convicting me that, hey, man, praying something is fine, and it's good, and you should do that. But you should also then do something about it. Because praying about it and acting on those prayers are two very different things. And who I'm becoming is a daily decision. And it's a decision that only I can make. And the same is true for every one of us. And many of us don't give it a whole lot of thought, and as a result, we think that we're just kind of coasting and we're staying the same, but that's not true at all. Matter of fact, nothing could be further from the truth because we are always becoming, always, stronger or weaker, richer or poorer, disciplined or distracted, joyful or bitter, compassionate or calloused, holy or hardened, surrendered or self-reliant. We're always becoming. And who we become isn't a mystery. It's not. It's quite predictable, actually. And it has everything to do with the choices that we make on a daily basis or the habits that we choose to engage in. You know, Warren Buffett, he said that the chains of habit are too light to feel until they're too heavy to break. The chains of habit are too light to feel until they're too heavy to break. And the habits that you have placed in your life are shaping who you're becoming. Okay? So who do you surround yourself with? What do we choose to eat? Do we exercise? What are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we reading? Are we reading? Like, when do we do these things? How are we filling our days? The answer to those questions are actively shaping us. into the people that we're becoming right now, and will continue to do so. It will shape us into the people that we're going to become. Okay? And listen, the habits that you have in your life right now are perfectly designed to give you the life that you have. So if you don't like the life that you have, then you're going to have to change the habits that you engage in every single day. And as followers of Jesus, we know that we're supposed to be becoming more and more like Him. That's what Christian means. Little Christ. We want to be more like Jesus. We're supposed to pattern our lives after His. And we talk about it around here all the time. We even made t-shirts. Remember, believe, belong, become. We want to believe in Jesus. We want to belong to Christ and the church. And we want to become the people that He's called us to be. But here's the problem. So many of us are sitting around and we're waiting to learn the thing that's going to allow us to then become the person that God wants us to be. And maybe, but I will say this, it's a big maybe, because I know many of you in this room. Maybe the problem is a lack of information, but the reality is for most of us in America, American Christians, the problem is not a lack of information. The problem is that we're not intentional about growing in Christ. That's the actual problem. We don't want to talk about that, though. Don Mark Comer said in his book, Practicing the Way, he said, if we're not intentionally formed by Jesus Himself, then it's highly likely we're being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. If we're not being intentionally formed by Jesus, it's highly likely we're being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. And I would take it even a little bit further than that, because I would say it's not highly likely, it's absolutely certain. It's absolutely certain, because we're all being formed actively every day, either by Jesus or by something or someone else. The good news is we get to choose. The bad news is we do have to. We do have to. And you have no excuse for not growing in Christ. None. None. Because God's already given you everything that you need to become the person He's called you to be. God's already given you everything you need to live a godly life. And those aren't my words. I didn't make that up. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to go ahead and open it up to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to be today. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 3. And while you're turning there, yes, this is the Apostle Peter, the chopping people's ears off, walking on water, if only for a moment, Peter. That's who we're talking about. And if you're following along in the YouVersion Bible app, you can hit the event tab, look for Swiss Cove, and you can follow along in there as well. I want you to pay close attention to what Peter has to say. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, he said, His, God, divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble, and you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, what did Peter say at the very beginning? He said, God already gave you everything you need to live the life He's called you to live. He sent Jesus to give His life for you. When you became a Christian, you were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there are likely some of you in this room right now who've never become a Christian. And so, I want to start here. Why should you become a Christian? Why? Well, the answer to that is pretty simple, actually. Every one of us does things every day that we know are wrong. Yes? Yeah. The Bible calls that sin. And sin is what separates us from God. He will not be in the presence of sin. That's why Jesus came from heaven to earth in the first place. And he lived a perfect life, and he gave his life for you and for me on the cross so that we could have forgiveness. Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later and now sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming back again. Okay? Jesus is the only way to heaven. Let me be really clear about that. Jesus is the only way to heaven. This is not multiple choice. There are not multiple paths. I know that's not popular to say, but again, those aren't my words. This is a claim that Jesus himself made. You may remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Clear enough? Yeah. So then it comes down to this. Either we believe him or we don't. That's what he said. He didn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room there. So you got to decide, do I believe what Jesus said or do I not? We believe him. And so we say, listen, if you want to spend eternity with God, the only way is through Jesus. In order to do that, to become a Christian, you need to hear and believe the gospel, which you just did. You need to repent of the sin in your life. That means to turn away from it. Repentance is a changed mind that leads to a changed life. So I say, I'm going to do my best. I'm making the decision to walk this way. I used to go this way. Now I'm going over here. Then we confess Jesus as Lord. We're baptized by immersion into Christ. That's how the early church did it. That's the way we do it here. Okay? And then we live our lives every day for his glory until he returns or until we die. Okay? And if you have any questions about any of that I just talked about, I'd love to chat with you about it. I'll be down here in a little bit. You can head to the Big Blue Wall if you want to, or you can find somebody else that has a name tag on. That means they're a staff member or one of our elders here. We'd love to chat with you about how to take your next step of faith today. Now, most of you have already made the decision to follow Jesus. And you're living in that last part, the living for Jesus part. And living your life for Jesus might seem a little bit vague when we just say it like that, but Peter got pretty specific. And so I want to kind of go through this a little bit and put some flesh on this. In my list, people, you're going to love this, okay? Because he gives us 8 things that we're supposed to do. And we're going to hit an overview of them real quickly, okay? But Peter said that we are supposed to make every effort to grow in faith, in goodness, in knowledge, in self-control, in steadfastness, in godliness, in brotherly affection, and in love. And he said, if we're growing in these things, then we'll be effective in the mission that he's given us. And what's the mission that he gave us? 2 things. Glorify God, make disciples of the nations. That's the mission. And Peter said, if we practice these things, we'll never fall. So as we begin to unpack this, I need to be real clear about something else. This is not how you earn your salvation, okay? That's not what we're talking about today. It is how you're supposed to live your life. It's not how you earn your salvation. It is how you're supposed to live your life. You cannot earn your salvation. Was that clear enough? Yes? Okay, you have salvation available to you, not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus did, okay? Without his death, burial, and resurrection, none of the rest of this matters. But because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he said, now, if you're going to call me Lord of your life, this is how you're supposed to live. Okay? Just because you cannot earn your salvation does not excuse you from putting in effort. Dr. Alan Algram said, grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. Okay? Grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. We together on that? Okay. So this is who we're supposed to become. And it won't happen by accident. And Peter starts his list with faith, which I think is appropriate because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, all of these things are really good things, but they don't really make any difference in light of eternity, okay? So put your faith in Jesus first. Then we're going to move on to these other things. And the next thing on this list is goodness. You're supposed to live a moral life. But here's the kicker. You don't get to decide what that means. It doesn't really matter what I think a moral life looks like. And it doesn't really matter what you think a moral life looks like. If you choose to follow Jesus, the only thing that matters is what Jesus says a moral life looks like. Does that make sense? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, then follow me. And I decide what goodness means. Then we're going to add knowledge to that equation because we're doing our best to follow Jesus and do what he said. It would probably be a good idea if we know what Jesus said. Okay? So we're going to add knowledge to this equation. We want you to be rooted in your faith and live the best way that you know how, but I want you to continue to grow in what you know. So as followers of Jesus, you better be spending time in the Word, and you better show up to church and grow together. And I would highly, highly, highly encourage you to get in a group so you can continue to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God and how Jesus has called us to live, and have some people in your life who can encourage you to do that. But listen, as we talked about at length in the James series, knowing something and doing something, not the same thing. So Paul doesn't, he doesn't end the list here. Peter doesn't end the list here. He adds self-control to this list, which is hard, man, because he said you better learn to master those desires that you have and those impulses that you got. And I know this isn't popular to say because our culture will tell us, well, if you feel it, it must be right. That must mean that you should do it. That's how God made you. That's how you're wired. Wrong. No, that's not how God made you. You might have that desire, but that desire that goes against what God said comes from your sinful nature. It didn't come from the Spirit of God. Okay? And there are so many things that you naturally want to do, but you better not. We teach this to our kids, don't we? We say, listen, I know that you think you should smack that kid and take his toy, but you better not do it. We say that to our kid, but you better say it to yourself too. Self-control. Self-control. Stop and listen. This is just a personal pet peeve of mine. Please stop saying, well, I deserve it. What I deserve is hell. That's what I deserve. Okay? We don't want to get into a conversation with Jesus about what we deserve. I promise you that. Thank goodness he gives me grace and mercy rather than what I deserve. I got to learn to tell myself no. And so do you. Exercise self-control as you pursue a life that's patterned after Jesus. Then we stack patience on top of this. And yes, there's room for patience with yourself, okay? But we're not using patience with ourselves as an excuse to keep living a life that we know we shouldn't be living, okay? The patience that he's talking about here is the patience to endure the sufferings and the trials that come as a follower of Jesus. And I know that's hard because we say, I'm following Jesus. Life should be good. But Jesus said, they killed me. You think they're going to be nice to you? He said, they hated me. You think they're going to be nice to you? That's not how that works. In this world, you will have trouble, is what Jesus said. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So we need that patience so that we can endure the things that are coming in life. And that patience helps us to grow in godliness. And the godliness that we're talking about here is an attitude that pleases God and that's focused on his will for our lives. And when we have that kind of attitude, it's a lot easier to have brotherly kindness, mutual affection, who we're supposed to love. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, we say it every week, right? We love you. We're praying for you. We're in this together. The kind of love that we're supposed to have in this, according to this passage, this mutual affection, is the kind of love between best friends. It's warm. It's generous. It's affectionate. We're supposed to love each other that way. But Peter doesn't stop here. He caps off the list with love. And it makes sense. It's kind of like Paul, he talked about in Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And the love he's talking about here at the end goes even further than the one we talked about just now. Because the love he's talking about at the end is the kind of love that God has for you and me. It's the kind of love that's not conditional. It's the kind of love that says, I'm just going to choose to love you, whether you deserve it or not. Because listen, you don't. Neither do I. But I'm going to choose to love you anyway. And that kind of love isn't produced naturally in me. It's not produced naturally in you either. That kind of love comes from the Holy Spirit. Paul talked about last week, the fruit of the Spirit. The very first one is love. And Paul says, man, we got some work to do. Anybody else feeling like that's about enough to be getting on with besides me? I need to work on everything on that list, personally. But as it turns out, living for Jesus is not a mystery. It's not kind of a vague thing that's out there in the ether and we can just kind of make it up as we go. Peter said, no, this is how we're supposed to live our lives. He didn't hide it from us. And listen, today I've given you some information, but I just want to remind you that knowing something and becoming someone are very different things. Knowing something and becoming someone are two different things. Now, I want to share one more quote with you from my man John Mark Comer in his book, Practicing the Way. He said this, information alone does not produce transformation. Because knowing something is not the same as doing something, which is still not the same as becoming the kind of person who does something naturally as a byproduct of a transformed inner nature. Okay, essentially, he said there's three kinds of people who follow Jesus. There's people who know stuff, and that's it. There's people who do things because they know they're supposed to. And then there's the kind of people who live the kind of life that Jesus wants them to live because they can't even help it. They've been transformed by Jesus, and this kind of stuff just flows from their life. And so I want to ask you, which one of those are you? Which one of those are you? You just know some stuff, but it doesn't affect your life? Do you do this stuff because you know you should and you'll feel bad and you're worried that your friends will make fun of you if you don't? Or are you like, man, Jesus got a hold of my heart and now I can't even help but do this kind of stuff because I'm living my life for his. It's not even my life anymore. My life is for Christ. And listen, if I could only tell you one thing this morning, it would just be this. Grow on purpose. Grow on purpose because it won't happen by accident. The mission is vital. Eternity is at stake. And you will not grow in your faith unintentionally. You won't. So you got to decide who you want to become. Who do you want to become? We want you to become a kingdom worker. We want you to become the person that God has called you to be. And listen, we believe that the local church is Christ's plan to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's why the mission is so vital. That's why we created the growth track to start with, because we want everybody to grow on purpose and toward a purpose. Because we're here for two reasons, to glorify God and make disciples of the nations. And listen, church, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of messing around with it. I'm done playing the game. We're ready to help you take your next step. We can't take it for you, but we will take it with you. And now the choice is yours. So I want to invite you, church, to come on. It's time to go. Let's do it together. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for the opportunity to be here in your presence this morning. Please continue to work in our hearts and shape us into the people that you want us to be. God, we ask that you would convict us for the times that we fail you and show us the areas that we have not yet surrendered to you. God, move in our hearts and change us, shape us, and use us, Father. We're yours. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.